Over the last few weeks, we have been exploring this sermon series called Unafraid, Finding Courage and Hope in Uncertain Times. And we've been exploring different fears that tend to be universal experiences that everyone holds. We started the first week by talking about just fear and anxiety in general, and how we have different types of fear, fear that's real, but also fear that we manufacture out of our worry that something could happen or might happen. And we've been following this book, Unafraid, by Adam Hamilton, who hopes to address those manufactured fears and help us live more courageously. So then we also talked about our fear of others or of things or people that are different from us, and our God's challenge to have courage and build relationship as an answer to that fear. And then last week, we talked about the fear of being alone or loneliness, but how the church can embody God and embody Christ's love and be a place of connection and community that gives us hope even in the midst of feeling alone. And this week, we're going to talk about the fear of failure. So I just want to start by people raising their hands. How many people have that fear, fear of failure? Okay, now look around the room. It's most of us. Yeah, and Adam Hamilton says this is one of the biggest fears when he surveyed people preparing his book. Fear of failure was one of the biggest ones that most people had. But I kind of want to start on a lighter note, in that the idea that not all failure is bad. And I did some research on some inventions that have happened because of failure. So things that people originally was a mistake, or people thought they failed at creating something they wanted to create, but it ended up turning out really good. So the first one I found is the history about how chocolate chip cookies were invented. So there are two stories. Have you heard that story? Yeah, so there's two ideas. The first one is that this woman, Ruth Wakefield from Massachusetts, was baking cookies, and she wanted to create like a completely chocolate cookie. So she mixed in chocolate chunks, thinking they would all melt and turn like the whole cookie dark brown like chocolate. But that didn't work that way, and she ended up mistakenly making chocolate chip cookies. The other story about chocolate chip cookie invention actually comes from Toll House Cookies, where they were making a batch of sugar cookies, and the mixer on the stand was shaking so much that it knocked a bag of chocolate chunks off the top shelf, and it fell into the sugar cookie batter, and they accidentally created chocolate chip cookies. So those are some pretty tasty failures. The next story I found is another tasty failure, and it's the invention of the ice cream cone. So during the World Fair in 1904, there was an ice cream shack kind of set up next to a waffle shack. They were selling waffles, and the ice cream cone place, or the ice cream place, underestimated how many people would want ice cream that day, and they ran out of bowls. And they thought, oh, we failed, we didn't bring enough bowls, how are we gonna serve people ice cream? Well, luckily their neighbors, the waffle place next door, helped them invent a waffle cone, and they wrapped the waffle around the ice cream and gave it to people kind of like a taco. And that's how the first ice cream cone was invented. And the last story that I found was about the invention of Post-it notes. So did you know those were a failure? Did you hear that story before? Yeah. Yeah, and you heard those stories before. Those are good ones. Yeah, so the Post-it notes, I didn't realize, were a mistake and a failure. So in 1968, a man named Spencer Silver that worked for 3M was trying to create a really, really sticky adhesive. He was trying to make something super sticky, but failed. And ended up the stickiness that he put on some paper to like permanently put it on something wasn't sticky enough. And so he thought he made a big mistake, and he had manufactured like all these what we know as sticky notes, thinking they would be permanent stickiness, but they weren't sticky enough. And he ended up giving them to a local church who used them as temporary bookmarks in their hymnals. And so that's how the Post-it note was invented. So these things that we think are big failures end up turning around and creating something new. But failure and the fear of failure can be really daunting and prevent us from taking risks to make something new or something exciting like that. Adam Hamilton says that the fear of failure, along with all the awful accompanying scenarios that we imagine of shame, the inability to provide for ourselves and those we love, and the stigma of losing, is one of the most prevalent human fears, which we witnessed when people raised their hand and said, I'm afraid of that too. This fear of failure, I think it's so prevalent and so big because, like Adam Hamilton said, it rides on that feeling of shame. One of the biggest reasons we worry about failure is because we worry about experiencing shame from others, or even feeling like we didn't live up to our own expectations or the expectations of others. We fear that we're not good enough at X, Y, and Z. And so all of that all comes under the big umbrella of fear of failure. And those are some pretty big things. So no wonder this is such a big fear for us, especially in a world that puts so much emphasis on momentum and success and what success looks like. We fear letting others down or looking bad in front of our peers or in the world. And so the fear of failure becomes this huge thing. So we end up not even trying because we feel like the risk to fail is so big and too scary that it's not even worth it to try because of all the negative that could possibly happen. Well, this fear is not just something that we today experience, but it's something that has been experienced throughout history. And we see that in our scripture reading today with Moses, who was really afraid of failure. And so we have this kind of, I condensed the scripture reading because it's a pretty long passage, but we have this story of Moses and the burning bush. Moses had, right before this happened, we know the story of Moses. He was born a Hebrew or an Israelite, and at the time, the Pharaoh was saying that he was going to kill all the firstborn or all the boys that were Hebrew or Israelite in the land. So his mom wraps him up like a little baby, puts him on the Nile, hoping that he will be rescued or at least have a better life. And the Pharaoh's daughter ends up picking him up and taking him in and caring for him as her own. And he ends up growing up as an Egyptian working under the Pharaoh. And so he grows up and ends up in this huge life of privilege by accident, by happenstance. And in the midst of that, he goes out to monitor some of the Hebrew slaves that are working. And he sees an Egyptian, like a slave driver, end up being really harsh to the slaves, and Moses doesn't like it. And so he ends up attacking and killing the Egyptian slave driver. And in order to escape the consequences of that, he flees and goes and works on his father-in-law's farm, Jethro. And that's kind of where we are. So Moses is now herding sheep, has run away from Egypt and is herding sheep and has gotten out of this bad situation. And as he's herding the sheep, he takes them up the mountain. Something compels him to go a different way that day. And he finds the burning bush and he hears the voice of God and gets a call from God to go back to Egypt where he had just fled and help liberate the slaves there. And so what we hear today is God's call and Moses' response. And I shortened it, but actually what happens is that God calls Moses four times in this exchange. And every time Moses says, not me, I can't do this, I'm gonna fail, I'm not good enough, I'm not good at speaking, I'm not a good communicator, I'm not a good leader. He has all these reasons why he would not be the right person for the job. But God keeps calling him. And eventually, Moses listens to that call. But the fear of failure probably doesn't go completely away as he listens to that call. Moses' fear of failure comes from his own shame about his past situation. It comes from his own feelings of inadequacy. One of the things he says is, I'm not a good public speaker. It comes from probably this ingrained image of what a leader looks like in his society. And he says, I don't look like that, so I can't possibly be a leader. And it probably also comes from this fear of letting others down, and actually, probably even bigger, a fear of letting God down. And I think some of us feel that sometimes. We're afraid of failing God and afraid of failing others. And so Moses' fear is wrapped up in all these things. But God's faithfulness and God's persistence in calling Moses leads to Moses finally taking that risk. And as he goes to lead the Israelites out of slavery, and he does that, and he's successful about that, and that all works out, but that doesn't make his fear of failure go away, and it also doesn't make his actual actions of failing on the job go away. There still is, when we take big risks, there is still that opportunity that we're going to fail, but there's also that opportunity that we might succeed. And so along Moses' journey, as he leads the Israelites out and toward the promised land, he still faces the fear of failure and the actuality of failure. So for example, he's trying to lead them on the straight path to the promised land, and we know that doesn't really work out, and they end up wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. But Moses doesn't give up. He keeps guiding them and leading them with the help of God. One of the other big ways that Moses fails, I was talking to my husband, who's also a pastor. We were prepping this sermon. He's doing a different series. But I said, what are some other ways that Moses failed? And he said his favorite story is about when Moses goes up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And while he's up there, the people start to get anxious and worried, and they start to worry that maybe God isn't really real, or who is this Moses guy anyway to lead us? And so they build a golden calf to worship instead. And Moses comes down with he's just experienced God. He has the Ten Commandments written on the tablets, and he comes down to people worshiping not God, but the golden calf. And Moses gets so angry that he smashes the tablets, probably angry at the people, but also angry at his own failings as a leader to lead the people, and is feeling insecure about that. So he angrily smashes these tablets and has to go all the way back up the mountain to get new tablets for the Ten Commandments. Also, we see witnesses of Moses in that way and in other ways not being a good communicator and worrying, and his fear of failure with that to lead the people. But even in the midst of that, Moses still tries, and Moses does his best to trust God. And Moses ultimately does lead the people to the promised land and learns from his failures along the way. And I think that's the key point, that even in the midst of failure, Moses is able to learn from that. For example, when they're wandering in the wilderness, all of a sudden they don't have food. And Moses prays to God, and they get manna from the wilderness, and he learns how God provides. Moses also learns that it's important to not just be a solo leader, but that in leadership, we have to rely on others. So for example, he says how he has like a stuttering problem or a communication speaking problem. So he relies on his brother Aaron to speak for him sometimes. And so he learns in that we need partners in leadership. He also learns that with God's help, he is capable of extraordinary tasks and challenges, and that he isn't alone in that. And with God, he can do amazing things. So even in the midst of those failures, he's able to learn and grow. And if he hadn't been willing to take those risks and risk failure because of his fear, if he hadn't been willing to face his fear of failure, he would have missed out on all this learning and growth and transformation. My mom gave me this picture, and I left it in my office. I was going to bring it up But there's a lot of fear when it comes to ministry and leading the church as a pastor, a fear of failure. Even like preaching every week, I get a little bit nervous. Like, what if I just totally bomb that sermon? And what's funny is sometimes when I feel like I've totally bombed a sermon, one of you will come up and say, oh, that was the best sermon. I just grasped so much from that. It's just so amazing how that happens. But I was sharing that with my mom, and she is very artsy and creative. And for Christmas, she made me this picture frame in my office. If you come in there, I can show you. And it's of two little birds. She drew this drawing of two little birds, and one of them is saying to the other bird, "What if I fall?" And the other bird says, "Oh, but what if you fly? What if I fall? Oh, but what if you fly?" Sometimes those ifs, those what ifs tend to go negative. They tend to be about that fear of failure. And we never realize that the possibility of success is often equal to the possibility of failure. That, yeah, we might fail, but also we might succeed. And I think sometimes we prep ourselves so much for failing that we don't know what to do when we succeed. And it comes to us as a surprise. So when we face our fears and when we take risks, we have more possibilities for newness and excitement and growth and change. But it's only when we do risk that we can grow and learn and transform. One of my favorite authors, Rob Bell, wrote this book called How to Be Here. And two of my friends that are pastors in Illinois and I, we have a weekly book group and we Skype and check in with each other. And we're reading this book right now called How to Be Here. I highly recommend it. It's a very easy read. And Rob Bell, this book is about living into your call, whatever that is, not just a call to ministry, but in life, whether it's a calling to be a nurse or a calling to be an artist, or you just have this really crazy creative idea, whatever that calling is. This book is about living into that call in the present moment and how we take that risk to do that. And he talks about how when we do take that risk, we probably will fail sometimes, but that shouldn't stop us from taking that risk. So this is the book if you want to get it. I have it on Kindle, otherwise I'd have it here. But that's Rob Bell. And I just wanted to read you this excerpt on his chapter specifically on failure. So this is what he says about failure. "You tried something new and made a complete mess of it. But now you don't live with that nagging question, what if I had tried X? You now know. You weren't successful at it, and yet it was something you needed to try. You failed, and yet that failure made you a better person. You failed, but it worked in your favor. You failed, but it made you stronger, more resilient, more appreciative. You failed, but it created all sorts of new life and growth and maturity in you. You failed, but now you're realizing that failure isn't all it's cracked up to be. This is the beautiful, counterintuitive, strange, unexpected, reliable mystery built into the fabric of creation that is at work every time we fail. You tried. You leaped, you took a chance, you risked, you paid attention to your deep waters, that yearning that we have inside of us, and you came to the conviction that trying this is where the life is. And so you did it. That is not failure. That is how you create a life. You try things and you make things with the awareness that you are always taking risks. Whether you are trying something new or doing the exact same thing, it's all risky. Failure is simply another opportunity to learn, another opportunity to explore, to grow, to find out who you are. You try this, you try that. Some things go great, others crash and burn. When you do crash and burn, ask yourself lots of questions about whatever it is that happened. What can you learn here? How will you see things differently moving forward? Why did I do that? Leads to, what have I learned? Leads to, how will I do it differently in the future? What you would have called a failure becomes another opportunity for increased clarity about who you are and what you're doing here. What you would have called a failure becomes another opportunity for increased clarity about who you are and what you're doing here. And isn't that what we're trying to figure out? Our purpose. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I being called to do? Moses risked failure to live into his call, and he learned who he was. When we risk failure, we learn who we are, even when we fail and even when we succeed. That risk teaches us who we are. And I think one of the biggest reasons that we fear failure is because we're worried that our identity will become, I am a failure. But the thing about failure is we are not failures. We failed at something, but who we are is beloved children of God, lovingly created. We are never a failure. That is not our identity. It's something we might do or something that might happen to us. Even in failure, there is new life, hope, and possibility. God remains faithful, and so we are able to take that risk. Adam Hamilton writes at the end of this chapter on failure that courage involves taking risks despite our fear. And faith in God reassures us that regardless of the outcome of the risks we take, even the worst thing that could happen is not the end. It reminds us that God still rules over the universe even if we fail. And somehow God can bring good even when we fail. So as we go from this place today, let us be unafraid of failure, because even in the midst of failure, amazing things like chocolate chip cookies are made. Moses learns what it means to be a leader. We are able to grow. God is faithful. God calls us, and God transforms us in failure. Thanks be to God. Amen.